We got the start of spring training right around the corner for the Buccos. Alex Stumpf covers the Pirates for DK Pittsburgh Sports. We'll welcome him in. And Alex, we were just having a good 10-minute conversation in the first segment. We had a couple people call in, and a guy said this, Alex. I want to run this by you because there's a lot of things we can talk about with the Pirates. He said, I'm willing to have 2 years of 100 losses if it'll give me that one-year window where the Pirates could be good. What do you make of a fan base that has kind of been beaten into submission about that?
Well, thanks for having me on, Corey. I don't know if you can qualify this as good news, but for that caller, but there's a fairly decent chance that it might be about 200 losses over the next 2 years for the Pirates, just with where the roster is at the moment right now.
Sure. And go ahead. That's the thing. I mean, is there enough hope to trust the process that you'll get something good enough in return at the end of the process?
I think so. I mean, even looking past the fact that with the amount of losses that they're going to be having, they're going to have the number one overall draft pick this year. They're going to have one of the very best, if not the number one again, the following year, and then probably another top 10 at least for the year that follows after that. So that's going to be three really good prospects added into the system, bare minimum, not to count, you know, guys you get in the second round, third round, who could potentially be good also. But there is a lot of talent already in the farm system. Cabrian Hayes is pretty much been universally ranked as, I think the lowest he's been is like the 15th best prospect in baseball. He really established himself. He made some mechanical changes to actually drive the ball instead of just hitting it hard on the ground all the time. He looks like the real deal. Quinn Priester, there's buzz around him that, you know what, here's a guy who this time next year we might be calling him one of the very best pitching prospects in all of baseball. Yeah, and O'Neill Cruz, a guy who Altuna got to see a little bit of in 2019, some of the best raw power of any player in the minor leagues. There is a lot of good young talent in the system, and it's getting deeper. I mean, as much as the Joe Musgrove, Jameson Taillon, Josh Bell's trade stink for watching Pirates baseball in 2021, they brought in a lot of good young players. Some of them are going to end up making an impact in the majors.
Yep. So the good news, the glass is half full. Out of those three trades, yeah. Did they get 11? Did I have that right, Alex? They get 11 guys back?
Yeah.
Okay, so they get 11 prospects back. And so the glass is half full. You add these guys to the Cabrian Hayes, the Cole Tuckers, the Kevin Newmans, and you hope everybody pans out. These next couple years are going to be rough, but let's fast forward to 2023. How competitive is that, the first year that the Pirates are competitive? And what is that group's potential upside after that, in that couple year period?
Well, I think 2023 is the year where the Pirates really will start to show some legitimate signs of competitiveness, because that's whenever presumably Kumar Rocker will be in the major leagues, Quinn Priester will be in the major leagues, Hudson Head could potentially be in that mix. And by that point, there would already be Hayes. There would already be Nick Gonzalez. There would already be Lovier Peguero. Brendan Malone could be someone in 2023. There's just a lot of really good young pitching that looks like they're on that 2023 projection date year. And for lack of a better comp, you could kind of look at like the Mets around 2014 to 2016 in that range, whatever they started bringing up all those young pitching. Not saying that the Pirates will have as high a payroll as even the Mets back then, but that was a team that was 100% carried by the young pitching that they were able to develop through the system. That's what they are hoping that this roster could be.
Alex Stumpf from DK Pittsburgh Sports. So we're trying to be positive. Spring is eternal. We're trying to be positive. In 2023, the Pirates should start to be pretty good. And then you talk about window of opportunity. We saw the window of opportunity in 2013, 2014, and 2015. We thought the window of opportunity would stay open longer than that, but as it turned out, it closed very quickly. They did not go out and make the moves. If we're going to start at 2023, now this has to be all things considered, because in 2023, how close is Cabrian Hayes to getting traded, Alex? How close are some of these guys that are going to have to carry the load between now and then? Then they're close to year five or six, and if the ownership is not going to pay the money. So if we start the window of opportunity in 2023, how long is that window open?
It's a good question. And the best way to keep it open, extend it as long as possible, would be to get a deal with Ke'Bryan Hayes done this spring training. It's something that they explored with a couple players last year. It's something that they should explore again this year. I mean, as much as it does stink to have, you know, Tyon Musgrove, Bell traded, if they could go into 2021 saying, look, here's our young core, and we got Ke'Bryan, he's locked up for 7 years. You know, guaranteed. Don't worry about it. That's one less thing we have to worry about. We got our, you know, number three hitter, our third baseman, taken care of. That's what they should really end up looking at doing, I think, this spring training more than anything. Like, that'd be better than any free agent signing that they could end up having.
Sure.
This entire offseason. Just, you know, we got Ke'Bryan locked up. We got Brian Reynolds locked up. We got Mitch Keller locked up. Just have some guys in place going forward that, like you said, if the window is 2023, and just for the sake of argument, we're going to go with the glass half empty here and say 2023, they don't really compete. 2024, they don't really compete and they don't look competitive. That's whenever it's like, okay, I guess we have to go through this again with Ke'Bryan Hayes. We, you know, and entertain, see if he can bring some prospects back into the organization. I don't think that's going to happen, but that is the worst-case scenario type of deal.
And the best case is maybe they get a deal done, and you've got, okay, this is where we inevitably have to talk money with the Pirates. I think you've maybe got a two-year window, and if you could stretch it out somehow, maybe you got a three-year window, 2023, 24, 25. But at some point in that window, they're going to have to spend the money to go get somebody or two or three. Now, they didn't necessarily do that in 13, 14, 15. Some of the trades, some of the deals they made were pretty shrewd. We got to give Neil Huntington some credit for some of the things that he did during that period. But here's the knock. A guy called in 15 minutes ago, Alex said, I hate Bob Nutting. He doesn't spend money. Well, Bob Nutting's a businessman. Fans root with their heart. How likely is it that Bob Nutting is going to change who he is in 2023, 24, 25 and spend the kind of money that it might take to go from winning 89 to 92 games, which might get you in, to getting that player or two that's going to put you over the hump if you get in and maybe you can make a deep run?
Well, we could only look to the past, and yeah, the window ended up closing in 2016, but it really didn't end up closing in 2016 because of payroll. Regardless of what people say, that 2016 team, even the 2017 teams, were the two highest payrolls in organizational history. The reason why, especially in 2016, that window ended up closing was because the best players just fell off that year. Kutch had the really bad year. Garrett Cole was hurt all year. Liriano couldn't throw a strike. Not to say that the front office and ownership were, you know, without sin and all that. I mean, they brought in John Neese instead of, you know, paid a couple extra million for J.A. Happ. Looking back on it, that was just a horrible, horrible decision that might have ended up costing them the playoffs that year, to be blunt. Just, you know, how Happ ended up pitching versus how Neese pitched. But every time that this question has come up to Ben Cherington and Travis Williams, they have said that whenever they get to a point of competitiveness, they are confident that they will have the means to invest into this team. And it won't be big, splashy moves, most likely. It won't be, you know, get the top guy in the market. But, hey, that 2015 team, they brought in A.J. Burnett and they brought in Francisco Liriano. That team maybe doesn't make the playoffs without those two guys leading its rotation. It could happen. It's not always going to be, you know, bargain bid free agents and trusted on the prospects. There will be some external help whenever there comes time. It's just not time right now for them.
Alex Stump from DK Pittsburgh Sports. And sure, the way you go about this in baseball is you just through sheer volume. They got 11 guys. If four of those work out, that's great. Hell, if three of those work out, that's great. If seven work out, now you're really, really cooking. That's what you have to roll the dice with. And so I would just ask you about this. I've only gotten to speak with Ben Cherington once back when he first got the job. We were talking about the minor leagues. I'm not sure how often you've been able to hear from Ben, but I'm sure you know his history very well. He did a lot of good things with the Red Sox. That's a very, very different situation than the Pirates. With everything you're saying, and it makes sense. The plan as it stands right now makes sense. Is he going to be patient? Is he going to be able to withstand a couple of 100-loss seasons and Bob Nutting maybe not spending the money, and then maybe you get – I mean, everything as it's planned right now, Alex, Ben Cherington seems to have a pretty good feel for. So, but how's he going to handle this if the traditional Pittsburgh Pirates and their ownership and their decision-making, you know, continue to go this route?
Well, we could say a lot of things about Bob Nutting. One thing you cannot accuse him of being is reactionary, and maybe that's even to a fault. Like, people can argue that they probably should have had that cleaning of the house earlier than 2019, because by then things had really just bottomed out. But he gave Neil Huntington plenty of time to build that team from 2008 to 2012. There wasn't a winning season in the bunch there. He, Williams, Cherington, Derek Shelton, they're all on the same page right now. They all recognize that this is going to take years to develop. There really is just no other way to do it. It's going to take years. And that's why, not to flip your question at all, but someone like Derek Shelton, like, he's going to – the Pirates are probably going to lose about 100 games this year. Mm-hmm. And it's not really going to be Derek Shelton or any of the coaches' fault. It's just, you know, the talent that they have to work with on the major league roster. They're going to have to find different ways to evaluate how he is doing as a manager, rather than just looking at the win-loss total. They're going to have to look at different ways throughout this organization. How is everyone going along? How are people progressing? How are the players? Are they still going to be able to reach that potential? What are they going to be making the majors? Those are the things that they're going to be looking for, and I think ownership and Cherington, they're going to be very patient with it.
Yeah, this is the key. What Alex just said, we'll close this. Patience is the key with all of this, because I'm going to give you the flip side to what you just said. They lose 100 games for 2 years in a row, and they don't like Derek Shelton, and they fire him. And now you bring in somebody else who doesn't have a relationship with Ke'Bryan Hayes and all these guys, and that takes a year or two to develop. Do you see what's happening? What I'm saying here, if you're not patient, if you're not going to look at and understand, hey, we're going to suck. We're going to suck for a while. Everybody gets a couple of free passes, because if they don't, and if they lose patience too early – and they make a key change here or there, or they blow it up too early, then everything that you've built for during your process, and you see what I'm getting at, Alex? This is why it's so vital to harp on your word of patience.
Yeah, it is going to be patient. And you know what? Just for the sake of argument, though, to contradict myself a little bit, that's how Neil Huntington's tenure started. And they found out after a couple of years that, you know, John Russell wasn't the right guy for the job, and they brought in Clint Hurdle.
Yeah.
Not saying that, you know, not to project that onto Derek Shelton, but it took a couple years to figure out everything in that regard. And it took patience, and they made the right decision. But this group is going to have to do the same.
That's awesome. That's great discussion right there, folks. That's as good of a 15-minute Pirates discussion as you're going to get right now. Alex Stumm from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Great insight, comparing to the last regime, looking ahead. That's what I really enjoy is not everything just starts today. You got to be able to have the knowledge and the history of all of it. Alex, I appreciate it, man. That was fantastic, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Corey.
I appreciate it.